totally independence here today, except for the point that I wanted to make generally about Klala. Sorry. I'm catching a cold. Okay, thank you. Cold. Okay, so yesterday, last week we discussed the point that it seems to me that the... How you doing, Ira? That the Rambam really has like this threefold criterion for kids to be involved in invasive medical procedures on behalf of their parents. I'm not talking about med management because I don't really think that's part of the discussion. So the Rambam says, number one, right, either there's nobody else to do it or they really are the best person for the job, which seems important. Number two, the parents are genuinely suffering, so there's an urgency factor. And three, this is the point where I was going at it with the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says, oh, you don't need any special rishos, because it's just Mikan Shinitan, you know, rishos l'rofei d'rapos. I thought that was wrong, because it seems to me that there is really a specific issue here, right? The Rambam is the one who counts it as a separate iser, right, of chavala of the parents against the Ramban. Okay, so that's what we said last week, and I said, I wanted to come back to the issue of klala. So just to review some of the basics, you know, that you have here in the first few sources. So what's interesting is that klala is considered worse than haka, cursing your parents. So the Ramban has a suggestion that maybe it's because it's more common that people would curse their parents than actually hit their parents, which is an interesting idea. Then he says it may be just fundamentally worse because klala always involves invoking the Shem Hashem. So it's like, you know, the Gemara talks about how Shlosha Shutin Vadam, that we concluded with last week, that there are three partners, a mother, a father, and God, and this is an attack on all three, because you're cursing your parents in the name of God. So very, very bad. So it's demonstrable that it's worse, because when it comes to Klala, that's an Isser Skila, and when it comes to Haka, that's, you know, only an Isser Chenek. The other distinction, which is interesting, is that, not that it's a good thing to do, but if a person would create a chabura in their parents after the parent passed away. So chabura is not a chi of misa, la'achar misa. However, when it comes to klala, if you would curse your parents after they're dead, it's still a chi of skila. It doesn't go anyway. It go away, even of course, there's no ability to offend your parents after they're, you know, no longer living. But, you know, that's another distinction. So,
Rabbi?
Yeah, Robert, go ahead.
You said that klala includes the naming of Hashem. So there's no way to curse your parent or curse anybody without Mazkir Hashem?
Yeah, I mean, there are different standards, like whether it's the Shem Adnos or the Shem Havaya or the Shem Moshe Nimchakos or Akinoi, depending on who we're talking about, parent, Dayan, Nasi, etc. Yes, but generally speaking, al pi halacha, you need to invoke some version of Hashem's name for klala, whether it's Birkas Hashem or anybody else. Correct.
No, because I can imagine cursing someone without invoking Hashem's name.
Yeah,
that's all.
In fact, I would say that most people would think about it that way, right? Like we don't. The whole idea of klala is to invoke the Shem Hashem for it to be l'chi of misa. Yeah, Aaron, go ahead.
could we add? That chabura could heal, klala persists, unless somehow you revoke it.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, physically it heals. You know, emotionally, you know, you wonder about that kind of a thing. But does it come to the same place? But in any event, we have, you know, we have these different theories as to what makes klala worse, and you can certainly put Aaron's on the list because there's some degree of speculation that's involved. In any case, I happen to like the second idea, which you have also explicitly in the Radvaz. If you have the Makoros, this is in the fifth source, right? He calls it the Ispe Tarte, Klona Vivimo Velotza Hashem Shemaim Levatala, right? So that, Robert, that gets back to the point that we're discussing here. So you have both dimensions. Okay. So what I'd like to turn my attention to is a problem in Shitas HaRambam that occupied all of the Mefarshim that I have a very strongly held view on, and devote the next 45 minutes or so to this issue. So take a look here at the sixth source. This is really where the shir begins. So shtuki, so we know shtuki in halacha is the following, is that the mother is known, right? It's always easier to figure out who the mother is anyway in the world before paternity tests. Still easier to figure out who the mother is the truth. But we don't know who the father is. There's obviously some father, right? The Immaculate Conception is the different shir. Not at the BMT this morning, right? So there's a father, but, you know, certainly we don't know who he is. Chayev al imo, veno chayev al aviv. Okay? Then the Rambam says, Ava mishanivda ivika imo v'amra ben ploni hu, ainte niskalo nech nakalpia. Ava beno mina shivcha mina nachris, right? Non-Jewish child. Complicated world, it happens. Enu chayev lo al aviv lo al imo, right? Because there's no halachic yichus. V'chein ger, this is critical, sho raso shalo b'kdusha, right, you conceived before the conversion. So Aval Bishan Olad Bikdusha, the mother converted while she was pregnant. And Ochaya Valmakas Aviv Al Kilulaso, right, because his father is totally disconnected from his father, may not even be Jewish. So Kshem Shen Ochaya Val Aviv, Kachin Ochaya Val Imo. Shenamar, Mikal Aviv Imo, Eshu Chaya Val Aviv Chaya Val Imo, Vizeshen Ochaya Val Aviv and Ochaya Val Imo. Because you can't have one without the other. It's a unit. Aviv Imo. So you're only chayav, you know, for cursing one of them or striking one of them, if you'd be equally chayav for cursing or striking, you know, the other one. So what's the obvious problem in the Rambam? That would be all, you know, well and good. But didn't the Rambam just say that we have a case where chayav alimo Veno chayav al aviv? Namely, which case?
Shtuki.
Right. The shtuki. We said the shtuki. He's chayav and his mother's not chayav and his father. So it seems like an obvious stira in the Rambam. So, you know, the Kesef Mishnah and the Radvaz both try to, I don't want to say paper over it, but they're sort of dismissive of the Kashya, I think, in a little overzealous on the Rambam's behalf, because I think this is a very serious problem. But the Kesef Mishnah says, for example, Kol Misha Aviv Yadua, so how do we explain the shtuki problem? The time delon b'chayev avua mishum delo yadinan ma'o manu. He says, really, the shtuki is chayev on his father. It's just a very technical problem that we don't know who his father happens to be. So, but it's not as if we're saying that fundamentally, you know, he's not chayev on his father. He really would be chayev on his father, but it's a chisaron yedia. Whereas, let's take the case of the ger. The ger is shehoraso shelo b'kdusha v'leidaso b'kdusha. So there, it's not a question of, we know exactly who his father is. The problem is that he can never be chayev on his father because his father is, you know, not either not Jewish, or even if his father subsequently converted along with the rest of the family, we could say, you know, ger shediskayer kekatan hanoladam. So that's what Kesef Mishnah wants to explain. The Radvaz, very similarly, I have to say, takes the position. V'lo dami l'hadam rina misama chavi v'imo kilel eshu chayev al aviv chayev al imo v'eshenu chayev al aviv v'eshenu chayev al imo t'shtuki chayev hu al aviv. You're really fundamentally chayev. V'lo d'li yadinan mihu. Aval ger, aval gav d'zeh aviv v'eshenu chayev al aviv hilkach. There's a distinction between de facto and de jure. It's de facto, the shtuki isn't chayev on his father, but only because we don't know who his father is. Whereas the ger, there's no legal possibility that he could be chayev for his father. All right. So that's what the guest of Mishnah Radvaz wants to say. And like I'm pointing out that, you know, I'm a little bit of a skeptic. Yeah, Yehuda, go ahead.
Or a
guy. Right, exactly.
It has to be about the biological.
Yeah, so biological plus halachic.
Sorry?
Biological plus halachic.
Right.
Right. That seems to be the... Right. The ger, right, his father is his biological father. Yeah. But... Kikata
nanola,
dummy.
How can he curse somebody who doesn't know who he is?
What's that?
He can't curse somebody who doesn't...
Right, that's what the Kesef Mishnah the Radvaz are saying. They're saying it's just really a technical issue. It's when the Rambam says Eshu Chayev Al Aviv Chayev Alimo Eshenu Chayev Al Aviv Eshenu Chayev Alimo, and vice versa. They're saying the Rambam is articulating a legal principle. It's just a legal principle. It means that conceptually speaking, if you can't be chayav, you know, on both of them, so you're not chayav on either of them. The obvious case would be, let's say somebody's one of the parents died. So, of course, you could still be chayav for striking the surviving parent. That's what. So, basically, the Kesef Mishnah and the Radva is one are trying to say that, saying it's no different than if, you know, one of the parents died. You're still chayav klal or haka on the surviving parent. You can't really be chayav, at least haka, you know, on the because he's no longer alive, he's buried. So you can't be chayav mishum haka for the non-surviving parent. But you know, okay. So the Minchas Chinuch liked this idea, and he really gets into extensive pilpulim. You know, in all of the different permutations. So I want to go through this, and then, you know, really pivot in a very different direction. So Ayin Mashik Shea Rabbi Mechab Lekamen Da'af Tekaimelon Tehenu Chayev Al Aviv Enu Chayev Al Imo. Seems like a principle. Gabi Aviv Akum Kikan Chayev Al Aviv Rak Shein Aviv Nikar. This is the case of the Shtuki. V'chein Kasa B'Kesef Mishnah. He notes that the Kesef Mishnah takes his position also. V'lechori Yishlomar Bipshitos, it's obvious. The Bishlama Sham Shaviv Akum La Mishkachas Lashi Chayev Alav. But Kan Mishkachas Lashi Kilel Kol Yisrael Imkain Gam Aviv Bichlal V'Chayev Nisal Kilas Aviv. So he says, but maybe you could say that there's no suffix, because imagine a situation where, you know, you take the Shem Shemayim and you curse every male in the Jewish people, so your father should be included in that. Listen to the pilpulim here. He says, but if you're Mikal Kol Yisrael, eno chayav al aviv, dilma aviv, kvar meis, maybe your father's dead. V'af t'chayav af l'achar misa, mikol makom, hu lo likil al achayim. He only meant to curse the living Jews. V'en aviv b'chlal. Ach, t'yesh al ches kas chayim, but we should assume he's alive. It's the Beis Shmuel says that. You know, etc. And then he says, you know, Gabi Safik Shloshi Racham, Nirasham de Ba'adam Shinu Yadua, Lo Shaya Cheskas Chai, Vaino de Behuda Vachronim. And let's say, but then Minchas Chinuch says, okay, but that's only if it's, you know, not stipulated. Vim Kilo HaMesim, but if the person, like, curses all living and dead Jews, so shouldn't his father be included? Wouldn't that then generate a chi? If you're saying the whole issue with Shtuki is you don't know who your father is, but fundamentally you're obligated, so all I have to do is formulate is, you know, I hereby curse B'Shem Shamayim all living and dead Jews, so that should solve the problem, right? Right? That's the Menchas Chinuch is very bothered by this, okay? V'imkilo ha'meisim patr gam ken alav v'vdel mechayu v'eno b'chlal v'imkilo kol ha'chayim v'ha'meisim v'imkeni manav shach aviv b'chlal. Right, so it seems the Minchas Chinuch says, look, I've got you, you know. We have the Kesef Mishnah and the Radvaz cornered. You know, then he says, but based on my previous comment, you'll have to really specify it, you know, that if you actually don't specify both Chaim and Mesim explicitly, heavy hasra suffik, you're not going to be able to give a proper hasra. Be'eshakil al chayim dilma aviv meis. V'la'achar zman shakil ameisim dilma aviv chayhu. V'chol min shakil ahu misupak v'anachnu misupakim aviv bichlal. Imkenu no chayiv. So you say, okay, but maybe we could still get you out in technicality because, you know, for hasra purposes, we don't know whether, you know, your father is really living or dead. Okay, yeah, very, very highly technical p'tur. So the Minchas Chinuch in the end seems to come to the position, by the way, other Achronim do too, I don't want to pick it exclusively on the Minchas Chinuch, that if you formulated things in such a way that you don't know who the father is, but you got the best lawyer in town, and you said, I hereby include in this klala all living and dead, you know, anybody could possibly be my father, so then, you know, we're going to get you on the father, so then you really are a chayiv. And I admit, you know, that's what it seems like the Kesef Mishnah and the Radvaz are trying to say also, right? It's just a chisaron of yediyah. Now, here's my issue with all of this. The Rambam says nothing of the sort. The Rambam just says, shtuchi is chayiv alimo v'eno chayiv alaviv. Like, it's a fundamental halacha. So all of the pilpulim of the Minchas Chinuch strike me as completely foreign to the language of the Rambam, and I'd like to try to explain why I think that's the case, and what makes klala distinctive, and how the Rambam could, in principle, have his cake and eat it too. Meaning, when it came to Ger, Shahu Raso, Shelo B'Kedusha, V'Lei Daso B'Kedusha, the Rambam evinces the principle of Esho Chayev Al Aviv, Chayev Al Imo, V'Esho Eno Chayev Al Aviv, Eno Chayev Al Imo, it's a package deal. But by Shtuki, right, you can actually say that he's Chayev Al Imo, V'Eno Chayev Al Aviv. I want to develop a little bit of a theory. Now, take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. This is a 10th source. How does this come down? Shtuki, and then he gives you the etymology of Shtuki. Perosh Shasuk, Likroas Aviv, B'Shem, Kemosh Amr Perik Asar Yochsin, Ezo Shtuki Kol Shemakiris Imo Veno Makiris Aviv. So like, you know, every time a guy walks in, this is a little sad, he says, oh, daddy, daddy, right, to the mother, says, shh, father. So Chayaval Akas, who call us Imo Veno Chayaval Aviv, Avo Bishadivika Imo V'Amra Ben Ploniyu, Eno Nena Shalpia. So again, you know, the case of Mishnah and the Radvaz, and clearly the Minchas Chinuch in the wake of this wanted to make it about the Chisaron of Yediyah. If you could only figure it out, you know, in a world, let's make it very simple, right? In a world of paternity tests, you know, so then we could say he's really Chayev for the Shtuki, and it's no violation of the general klal of Esha Chayev Alaviv, Chayev Alimo, and vice versa. But I doubt that. And I'll tell you why I doubt it. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes the following. Hashtuki chayav imo v'eno chayav aviv. Avo bishenivdaka imo v'amri l'ploni nivalti. Right, we ask the mother, which is what the Rambam says, and she says, this is the father. And, you know, she would know. Let's be honest, she would know. It's not that hard for her to figure out. I mean, if it is hard for her to figure out an issue, but in most cases, she's going to know who the father is. Right? V'ubino. Avo bishenemenes. We actually believe her, al pi halacha. And you'll see, it's not just midrabanan that we believe her. Lahachshir atzma alpia, right? She's going to say it wasn't a guy. So, for example, she would be able to marry a kohen. Okay, she's not a grusha. She's not a zona. She's not a chalala. She's not nivelas la'akum. We believe her. Mikol makom enan amenas lios nechknak o niska alpia shekillo o hiko. But we're not going to give the death penalty on this basis. V'afidu gamhu omer kain. And even if, let's say the father says, yeah, I'm the father. It's not like he's denying it. Right? Deich narug adam below edim. So the Aruch HaShulchan makes it a due process issue. The issue is just that, you know, it's very, very hard for us to put somebody to death, you know, unless we have, you know, the highest possible evidentiary standard. But it's not like we don't really know who the father is. All these pilpulim, right, of the Minchas Chinuch, like, oh, if you'll include every human being in the world and blah, blah, you know. It doesn't sound like that's the issue. It doesn't sound like it's you know. And then the Aruch HaShulchan, this is the Kudei Gra. Amihu hu ba'atzmo chayev lachush l'chach u'l'chabdo. Right, the kid is mechuyav midin kavod. So I don't think it's a safek at all. Meaning, we're treating this midoraisa as the father. We're just saying, you know, as a due process issue, we're not going to give a person, you know, chiyav chenek or chiyav skila. On the basis of, you know, even credible, you know, testimony, even if it's not formal edus in the context of the mother, of the father, the mother, whatever it is, you know, this is not sufficient for purposes of a capital penalty, which to me seems a lot closer to what the Rambam is saying. But I'd like to try to explain in a little bit more concrete terms to take us back to Klala. So again, this whole direction, the Kesef Mishnah and the Radvaz started us down this road. Where, oh, no, you really chayev, the Shtuki is really chayev on his father, we just can't really figure out who it is. And so then that led the Mischatz Chinuch to say, oh, but let's say you include everybody in the whole world, and like everybody who ever lived, and you're really smart about how you formulate it, so shouldn't you be chayev? And my impression, the Rambam is still no. And the Aruch HaShulchan makes it a due process issue. It's like, okay, maybe you're chayev the lav, but you're not chayev the onesh. So I'd like to say something more foundational than that. And develop a more conceptual chakira between ger, shahoraso, shelo b'kedusha, v'leidaso b'kedusha, and shtuki. So, I have to be honest, I was thinking very much along these lines, and then I discovered a Torah's Kohanim, you know, a Medrash Halacha that I think really helps my case. So I want to suggest this the following, and then I want to read the Torah's Kohanim. So let's go back to what I was observing at the beginning, that Klala seems to be worse than Hakaa. And that strikes me as a very solid claim, because one is a chiyuv skila, the only is a chiyuv chenek. So what's so bad about klala? I think what's so bad about klala, and here I agree with the Radvaz, is that you're taking the shem shemayim and you're denigrating your parent in this really horrible way. Right? And haka is also very bad. It's a chiyuv misa. But it doesn't have the involvement of Shem Shamayim, and so it stays as an Isser Chanek. But maybe that only applies in a situation where a person can truly be said to be assaulting their parents, assaulting either in the physical sense, haka, or assaulting emotionally in the sense of klala. But the entire lav, you know, is rooted in the idea of a brazen assault. But the whole problem with Shtuki is that this kid, even if in many other areas of halacha we'll say, we'll believe the mother, we'll believe the father, we're going to accept it for purposes of her kashrus, maybe even according to Aruch HaShulchan and Sechidish, midin kavod. But I don't think it's just a due process issue, like the Aruch HaShulchan says. Like, how can you give somebody the death penalty on this basis? But I think it's an issue of, to what extent do we relate to it as an equally brazen iser? If the father is not the definite father, right? There's no, you know, what we might call practical relationship here. He's not growing up with his father. That's what makes him a shtuki, right? And that's why we have to, you know, basically take her word for it. And if we find him, we could get his word for it. So maybe the absence of a functional, practical relationship with the father mitigates the severity of the love. Shtuki eino chayav alaviv. So I found a line in the Torah's Kohanim that made me think that that was exactly the case. So again, if this is true, and then I'll read the Torah's Kohanim inside, everything the Minchas Chinuch said is essentially irrelevant. Yeah, I can include every human being who ever lived. But in what way am I assaulting my father? If I'm assaulting my father as one of 7 billion living human beings, or God knows how many human beings who have ever lived, I don't know what the total human population over the, you know, I don't know, trillions of people who ever lived, what kind of assault is that on my father? The whole point is that you're uniquely assaulting your father. So there's this Torah Kohanim that says the following, Ish, Ein Li'ela Ish, Ish Aminah, and it applies to a woman who would do the same thing, Tamid Lomer Ish Ish. Ki Yekalel Es Aviv, Lo Es Avi Aviv, not a grandfather. Again, even if you hold, like, you know, many do, that there's a chiyuv of kavod for the grandparents, right? There's something. Chayva de mechvod aviv yoser mechvod zekeno. Ve'es imo. Ve'lo es avi imo. Aviv. Vadai. Ve'lo ala safik. That there's a gzeiras hakasav here. The Torah's Kohanim is saying is that the only way you can violate this iser, forget about the onesh for a second. The Aruch HaShulchan makes it about the onesh. He said it has to be aviv b'toras vadai. In other words, it can't be a shtuki. Even if, circumstantially, you can figure out that this is really the father. He comes 3 years later and says, she's right, I'm really the father. Maybe even if you did a paternity test. But the whole point is that mitzad haben, the reason we call him a shtuki is because he doesn't know who his father is. So even if, for many other halachos, she can marry a Kohen, and maybe we'll say, you know, ex post facto, you know, he's chayv midin kavod if the mother says it and the father says it. But in terms of klala, it has to be a brazen assault on one's father. A brazen assault. And I think that's exactly what the Torah's Kohanim is saying. Al havadai velo al safik. Well, what do you mean? Of course not on a safik. Like, that's the point. The Torah's Kohanim is saying exactly this case, even if you could figure it out later. What do you mean? Of course you're not chayiv midin safek. You don't give somebody, you know, any kind of a lav, you know, for violating something, you know, if you're misupak about whether they violated it. The only possible meaning of this Torah's Kohanim is if we, you know, for purposes of other halachos later determine that we're going to treat this as the father, hein midaraisa, hein midarabanan, you're still not chayav midin klala. And the reason is because if you don't know b'toras vadai who your father is, I don't think it's a due process issue on the onesh side. I think it's a question of how brazen an assault could it possibly be.
What makes it a brazen assault?
When you know who your father is, this person is your father, this person is the one, you know, who you know brought you into this world, and in, you know, the vast majority of cases, you know, raised you and whatever it is, and then you take that shutaf lamakom, this is a person who's a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you curse him in the name of God, that's an extremely brazen assault. So I don't think that it's possible, even if later on we could figure it out, to, you know, let's say the kid is 7, we figure it out. Even if you did a paternity test in the 21st century, it would be my view, l'shitas HaRambam, that you still couldn't be chayev in that situation because it's still defined halachically for purposes of klala, not for purposes of kibud and not for purposes of who the woman is going to be able to remarry. It's still defined as aviv midin safik. Yeah, Ira.
Are we saying?
We're studying in Tashua, and you want to say in Tashua,
yeah,
that there are cases where a woman is believed as an A-Effa. In those cases, she's only believing for herself. She's
right.
To affect anybody else. So to give us some skill of that probably would not happen with a woman, with one woman's A-Effa.
Correct. So remember, the Aruch HaShulchan, I think the Chiddush here, is that he's willing to go even further. The Aruch HaShulchan says, even if we would believe it vis-a-vis the son for other areas, even for kavod, we're still not going to believe it for, you know, klala. Aaron, go ahead.
So I heard Ada for Nema Bisun just mentioned that. So the woman, we said we believe her, she has kashrus. So that's mitam Ada for Nema Bisun, I'm not sure. But what I think the implication of what you're saying is that even if it's 100% certain from perspective of the woman, since there's no relationship that the son had, you know, there's a suffix in terms of relationship. So from the perspective of the son, there's no certainty, there's no relationship.
100% correct, and I even want to go half a step further. I want to say this, Aaron, even according to the Aruch HaShulchan, who says there's a chiyuv of kavod. What I'm doing is I'm trying to push the outer boundary and saying, I now have my case. Where
the
I can
kavod,
be...
the kavod doesn't create a relationship.
Correct. Exactly.
Because he's never had that interaction with the father, so it's a shadow figure of a father.
Correct. So you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I'm driving at. That klala is reserved, not again because of the due process issues of onesh, but klala is reserved. The only thing that makes it so, you know, grievous a violation is because you're taking an individual who has such a critical, you know, role in your life, you know, as, you know, the everything that a father stands for in halacha, and you're treating this person in a terrible way. So the point is, if from the perspective of the son, that the father isn't, you know, that individual, so, you know.
So, Rabbi, you're basically saying if a person has a biological father and then a natural father, not natural, but someone who raised him, he can be nenash for cursing the natural father, but not the biological father.
No, I wouldn't go that far in the opposite direction either. I think that there's a dual requirement here.
Why? The biological father had no relationship with him.
Right. So I would say, and if he doesn't know it's his biological father, you know, at some point, even if later on...
But let's focus on the person who raised him.
Yeah.
From infancy.
Yeah.
Is there a din of kill?
No.
Of klal or not?
No. Can't go that far.
According to your shita, he should be. Because in every respect, he's the father.
Right. So I think you need both.
But you never know both. Absent paternity, you never know both. You never know who the father actually right. is. Absent paternity testing.
Right. So I think you need, I think you have to have two criteria. I think it has to be your father, right? The one who gave you, you know, who brought you into this world, which is a big part of it, right? Shlosha shutfin ba'adam. And then, you know, the one who's always assumed the role of the father. Al havadai velo al safek. So here's my, you know, outer boundary case, Robert, where I think I can establish it. The Rambam says, if your father and mother are rishayim gemurim, ve'ovrei averos, right? We're not talking about an isolated problem, but, you know, deeply wicked individuals. So there's no chiyuv of klala. It has
what
to
does
be.
Mean? If you curse them, there's no averim.
They have to be rishayim gemurim and ovrei averos. Very high bar. Because again, it has to be a brazen assault on somebody who's, you know, partnered with a Kadosh Baruch Hu to A, bring you into this world. So that's Robert, you know, the part that I want to contribute. And, you know, been, you know, a proper religious role model. So the Isurei, Hakka, and Klala go away.
If you work for the courts, and if people are, because it's like Marcus, can you be the one to give them Marcus?
No.
Yes?
No.
No, and why?
Right. So the Rambam says is that you could always find somebody else to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. The Rambam deals with that case of the Shliach Bez Din.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he's a Mesis.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
There's an exception to every rule. Yeah.
My Friedman,
Freddie, go ahead.
Going back to Robert's point, which I really resonated with me, if you have an adoptive parent, so you're saying there's no such thing as kolola versus vis then?
Correct.
Is that what you said before?
Correct. You need both. There is
other people brought you up your whole life. You don't even know who you don't know who your mother is. You don't know you're an abandoned child.
Yeah.
You don't know who your biological parents are at all. You have these adoptive parents. There's no kolola involved.
No kolola. You need both.
Hmm?
You need both. Everybody and everybody agrees that it has to be. Both, you know, biological and, you know, functionally speaking as well. Okay. But there could very well be, you know, a din kavod in that situation. And there are many other halachic implications to functional parenting. You know, like the Rav, Freddie and Robert, to your point, you know, there is this, you know, school of thought amongst, you know, some of the poskim that, you know, adoption doesn't mitigate the iser yichud. The Rav thought that was ridiculous. That what you're saying, the functional parent-child relationship, of course, has to. So for a certain halachos, you know, I totally agree. Then klala is this really, really high bar. So you're taking the shem shemayim and you're assaulting, either physically in haka or emotionally in terms of klala, you're assaulting, you know, the individual, you know, who's responsible for not only your presence in this world, but you know, your spiritual bearing in this world. So, again, like, you know, not to pick on the Minchas Chinuch, but the Kesef Mishnah, the Radvaz, they started down this road. They always say it's a question of, you know, we just can't figure out who the guy is. But, you know, if you formulate it as every human being who ever lived, and you solve your Al-Hasra Safek issues, you know, for the Minchas Chinuch, I guess you're right, he'd have to deal with the fact he'd be Chayev. I'm saying that is clearly in contradistinction to what the Medrash Halacha says. It has to be aviv b'toras vadai, right? If you formulate things in this, you know, hedged way where you're not going to have, you know, you're not really attacking anybody specific. You're saying every human being who ever lived, you know, then you're still not, in my view, according to the Rambam, there's no way that a shtuki could be chayev in that situation because I'm arguing, not like a due process issue, like how could we just take the mother's word for it or the father's word for it, like Yerach HaShulchan says, but it's a question of how grievous is this sin. And if there's, you know, a gap between father and son, in other words, this person was never in his life, he's a shtuki, right? He didn't know who the shtuki by definition means. You know, he walks into every room and says, oh, maybe that's my father. Mm-hmm. Even if they could prove it to him later, that bond never formed the same way. So Robert then wanted to say, oh, but let's say the bond really is there, so shouldn't that be klala? So I'm saying, no, that's the twofold test. It has to really be both. Okay.
But you can't say it goes from 0 to 100. In other words, there's got to be some isser involved in being the klala of such a person who raised you.
Yeah. Well, first of all...
Malkos, I don't know what.
For sure, because there's an isser that rises against cursing anybody.
Right.
Yeah. And it would obviously be, you know, a davar maguna biyoser. It would be a horrible thing to do. But
correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. But I'm just saying in terms of the actual chiv misa. So what I then wanted to try to say was the following. Now, if you're willing to accept this rationale, that it's actually a din d'oraisa based on the Torah's kohanim, your chayav al-havadai velo al-safik, now I think the Rambam makes perfect sense. So if you go back with me for a second, the stira in the Rambam was a serious problem. So this is the sixth source. So we say Shisuki chayav al imo venu chayav al aviv. Avo bisha nivdika imo v'amra ben ploni hu ein zan niska lo nechnak al pia. So to me, the Rambam seems to be saying that actually, maybe we really do trust this woman, but we're not willing to consider it to be an iser skila, or in the case of haka, you know, an iser chenek. Right, we understand that very well because halachically there's no connection with mother or father. Robert, do you want to just? Oh, sorry, it's Aaron. Aaron, do you mind if I just go to the end of this Rambam? Then I'll give you the last word. I just wanted to hammer home this point in the Ger. So v'chein Ger show raso shelo b'kedusha. So avobi shenolad b'kedusha eno chayav al makas aviv al kilaso, right? Because this child has no halachic connection to the father, right? Kikatan shenolad dami. We should assume there is a halachic connection to the mother. Kshem sheno chayav al aviv, kach eno chayav al imo. Even though, of course, you know, by the time he was born, the mother had converted, so the mother is his halachic mother. Shenemar. Mekalu aviv imo, eshu chayav al aviv, chayav al imo. Vezesh, eno chayav al aviv, eno chayav al imo. So the Rambam is making it very clear. The only reason that the ger, shehoraso shelo b'kedusha, v'leidaso b'kedusha, is not chayav for his mother, is because he's not chayav for his father. That's the only reason. Because of this gzeiras hakasav, which puts aviv v'imo together. So then, of course, we had the terrible shtuki problem, right? Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If what I'm saying is really true, that he can't be chayav for his father because his father is father midin safek and not a father midin vadai, why doesn't that translate over to the mother? Oh, but this is, I think, exactly the point. When the Rambam said... You know, the halacha of es shechayev mishum aviv, chayev mishum imo, ve'es she'eno chayev mishum aviv, eno chayev mishum imo, I think what the Rambam was stating was a very specific halacha with respect to a ger, shehoraso shelo b'kedusha, v'leidaso b'kedusha. That is to say that a chasm has opened up because of this situation, because of the gear, the ger shenis gair kakatan hanola dami, that al pi halacha, what happened is that this person, this ger, this child who's born to the mother, converts along with his mother, has been totally dissociated from the father who contributed the biological material, but now, you know, wasn't part of this process. So the issue was a breakdown, right, that applied to the father and the mother. The father and the mother are now in two completely different worlds. There's no connection between them. Eshu chayev mishum aviv, chayev mishum imo. Eshu eno chayev mishum aviv, eno chayev mishum imo. Masha'en came the case of shtuki. There's been no halachic process to drive a wedge between mother and father. There's no halachic process that put them on opposite sides, you know, as we like to say in halacha, of tre ibri dinara, So for the Rambam, the halacha of Esha Chayav Mishumav Chayav Mishumimo V'Esha Eino Chayav Mishumav V'Eino Chayav Mishumimo has to do with the relationship between the mother and the father. In the case of the ger, we can't link the mother back to the father. Obviously, there was an act, there was a Maisa Bia, there was conception that took place. But now, halachically, they're in totally different places. Even if the father will later convert, he'll have no relationship to her. Right? There's no... So that's what the Rambam is saying, is that because there's no connection, even if one of the parties dies, right, there's still, halachically speaking, a connection, we can connect the mother back to the father, in terms of their status. But as far as this child is concerned, the case of Gersho, Russo, Shalabikdusha, Veledasu Bikdusha, the father and the mother are in totally different places relative to this child, right? They went in opposite directions. The Shtuki, you never had a parallel halachic process. Therefore, L'shitas HaRambam, the halacha of Esh Eino Chayav Mishum Aviv, Eino Chayav Mishum Imo is irrelevant to this case. Totally irrelevant. He's not, the problem is not a problem for him at all. There's no severance between mother and father. In fact, that's exactly what the Rambam says, Beferush. We believe her as far as who the father is. We have no problems with that.
That she doesn't know who the father is.
No, he doesn't know who the father is.
Well, no, unless the wife says she doesn't know, she's a promiscuous woman.
But nonetheless, right? You could say it's one of three people. The point is that there's no legal halachic barrier. There's no fence between them. She could say it's one of these three guys, whatever it is. But the problem, there's no carryover. It's an irrelevant din. So the Rambam had a massive chiddush here. And then Aaron, I want to give you the last word to say. I just want to really hammer this point home. The Rambam had a massive chiddush. Everybody else took the halacha. I says, well, if you can't be chayav for your mother, you can't be chayav for your father. If you can't be chayav for your father, you can't be chayav for your mother. The Rambam said, nonsense. That's not the halacha. You could have a situation where you're chayav for one and not for the other. Al pi din. Right? You could absolutely have a case. It just means this halacha, you can't be chayav for your mother, can't be chayav for your father, is when there's a halachic wedge that was driven between the two of them. As long as you don't have that problem, you could be chayav for one of them and not for the other. It happens in every case of childhood, where a child grows up into adulthood, where, one parent is, unless the parents die exactly at the same time, right? You could be chayev an hakaas imo, veno chayev al hakaas aviv. So the Rambam said, there's nothing problematic about being chayev for one and not for the other. It's a special halacha of gerusha, ras shlo bikdusha, v'leidasa bikdusha, because now the mother and the father have no partnership with each other. That's the issue. And that's a very specific problem. So now the question is, once that's true, so why isn't the shtuki chayav al aviv if we come back later and we figure it out? And so, to me, that's a separate halacha. That's the Torah's Kohanim. You're only chayav b'Torah's Vada. You're not chayav b'Torah's Safik. Because to me, and again, it's not like a due process issue on the Onesh. Oh, how can we put somebody to death, if we're just... I think the idea is how brazen an assault on your father is it really? If this person, you don't even, as far as the kid is concerned, he doesn't really know his father. His mother can tell him when he's an adult, oh, by the way, that was really your father, but he has no connection to this person. So again, Robert and Aaron then, turn around and ask a good question, or Robert and Freddie turn around and ask a good question and say, so if it's about the relationship, so it shouldn't be enough to have the relationship without the biological contribution. That's what I'm saying, is you really need both. Okay, so that's my, my perspective on this. Aaron, let me just give you the last word. Go ahead.
The concern that both Freddie and Robert raised of, you mean if I curse an adopted parent, there is the general punishment for cursing anybody, but we shouldn't lose sight of, we said that he's still high in kibbutz, and he's over on kabeis avicha v'yesimecha, is he not?
Yeah, I would say it's, yeah. But it's quite possible that to say that, you know, this is you could get them on some other lavin, according to some readings.
But specific to parents.
So
it's possible. There would be an onesh. It would be the same onesh for cursing an adoptive parent because of kavanas avicho.
Well, the problem, not exactly, because you're not going to have skila.
But he's over on kavanas avicho.
It's possible.
I mean, the curse in and of itself is being you're over on.
If you think there are some people who think there's a trigger mechanism. Depends how you define, because again, the Gemara gives the following definition. Now the Rambam says those are like examples, right. And mora. So if you believe that, you know, violations of kavod trigger mora violations, it's not implausible to me that doing something like this could. Let's put it this way. You have violated, I think, at that point, ara makla aviv imo. The Rambam says it's not just the last halacha in Perkei of Hilchos Mamrim. The Rambam says, you know, it's not only Hakah and Klala we're concerned about. We're concerned about, you know, denigrating parents. So I would say that you know, maybe you could put it under that general prohibition.
And is there an onish deraisa there?
Only bidei shamayim.
So there's still a difference.
There's still a difference, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. These are all good questions. So, again, this Torah's quantum, I think, is really like a critical point. And it ties us back to the Hayar of the Radvaz at the very beginning. That Klala is, you know, is different. It's an Isser Skila. And part of that is appealing to the Shem Shemayim. And part of that is because it's such a brazen act. But this is really what we call in Halacha, you know, Chumraso. You know, maybe lide kulaso, that because it's such a brazen act, if there are mitigating circumstances, those circumstances being that this person was never in your life to the point where you are a shtuki. Although later on, your mother can tell you, this is the person I believe to be your father, and he could admit, yeah, I was the father, blah, blah, blah. But and that's going to be significant in terms of her ability to marry Cohen, and that's going to be significant in terms of maybe even establishing a chiyuv kibud deraisa. But it can't rise to the level of klala, because klala requires, like I say, a really brazen assault on somebody who's your father. So even if this person is your biological father, and we're halachically convinced of that, even at the d'oraisa level, you can't be chayav mishum klala. And again, not just because, oh, we just can't bring ourselves to give somebody an onesh misa, like I call the due process of Shuviyara HaShulchan, is that it's not really the violation of klala. Klala means somebody is, you know, the ultimate act of disrespect to somebody who's his father. Now, again, I'm totally sympathetic to Robert Freddie Aaron's point that if you have an adoptive father, it's a horrible thing to denigrate him in this way. But there seems to be a twofold issue here. One of them is, you know, the biological contribution, you know, which is why you have to discuss in the context of Ger Shehu Raso Shalobiktusha. You have to wonder about that person because he is the biological father. But the halachic wedge is created. So again, you know, it's that point in the Rambam. And then the second chiddush of the Rambam was to say, Eshu chayv mishum aviv, chayv mishum imo, Eshenu chayv mishum aviv, Eshenu chayv mishum imo, is only relevant when a halachic wedge was driven between the two of them. When there's no halachic connection anymore between aviv and imo, right? Which is the case of Horaso Shalom B'Kdusha V'Leidaso B'Kdusha, because they've gone in their different ways, right? And even if the father will subsequently convert, it makes no difference at all, right? Because he can't be considered to be, you know, the halachic father of this child and the halachic husband of this woman. Even if they subsequently marry, doesn't really matter because, you know, as far as this kid is concerned, it's all defined by Shas Maisa. So that's when we have to have, you know, the pairing of mother and father together. But in all other cases, the Rambam says, what do we care about, you know, the father and mother? One of them is going to predecease the other one. So you know, it's not like, you know, you can't be chayev mishum haka on your mother if your father is no longer living and vice versa. It doesn't make any sense. So the Rambam felt that there was no issue of shtuki. Not because it's like, oh, we really know who this guy is, the Kesef Mishnah says, the Radvaz. So they don't think it's anything to do with that. It's a special halacha in the world of Ger Shoraso, Shelo Bikdusha, Vilei Daso Bikdusha.
Quick comment.
Sure.
A curse can last longer, can sting longer than hidden.